Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The sharing economy. It's the buzzword of the moment. Uber, Airbnb, TaskRabbit, all companies that are supposed to help us share rides and chores. But does everybody really participate in that sharing? At a San Francisco Comedy Hack Day last year, contestants were challenged to come up with a funny fake app. And the winner was Well-Deserved, which is an app that's supposed to help you monetize your privilege. Let's listen.
I walk a lot, and I'm always seeing women getting catcalled on the sidewalk. It really sucks. But I had this idea the other day. Hey, why don't I walk with them, spare them the harassment, and charge them like $5?
Well-Deserved will never monetize any of the transactions that happen within our community. It's your privilege, and you're entitled to every cent of that sale. Our business plan is that VCs will just give us money because this is San Francisco and we have an idea.
Yes, venture capitalists are pouring money into technologies that help people share, but could it be a kind of sharing that helps or hurts economic inequality? Well, that's a question raised by Julian Augman. He's co-author of the book Sharing Cities, A Case for Truly Smart and Sustainable Cities. He's also a professor of urban and environmental policy and planning at Tufts University. So thanks very much for coming in. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So you heard that clip, that funny clip from the San Francisco Comedy Hack Day last year. And I think that it's funny in a way because maybe there's a little bit of truth to that.
Oh, there's a lot of truth in it. Recently, I was asked by a major bike share company to advise them on why minorities and people on low incomes weren't using their bikes. And I said to them, sort of rhetorically, did you involve any people from minority groups or low-income groups in designing the bike scheme? And they said, no. And I said, well, what do you expect? You, bunch of white people, sat around and designed a scheme for like people. And when you look at a lot of bike share schemes, they are designed for the needs of commuters and for tourists, not necessarily for people who are not going to be tourists or are not going to be commuters. So, again, the point of the book is to not overly criticize the notion of sharing, because we are, as humans, I think, evolutionary-wise, ordained to share. But the idea is to say, how can cities partner with some of these sharing enterprises to really make them think about social justice and equity, about the distribution of goods within cities, about access to the good and the bad? And how can we make cities more equitable and just and sustainable?
And you talk about cities because you think that most people will be in cities. And so that's sort of a platform, really, and it has some of the infrastructure to share. But give me an example of a sharing city. Where might you say that this is sort of starting to work right now?
Well, again, there are various aspects of the sharing city. I mean, San Francisco is talking about it. But as you've just said, the dominant lens of sharing in San Francisco is through a sort of commercial aspect. We have to look towards Latin America, really, towards places like Porto Alegre in Brazil, where they have what's called participatory budgeting, towards Medellin in Colombia, where they've developed a concept of social urbanism, which is about prioritizing access for people from the lower income neighborhoods to the downtown areas and producing one of the world's finest bus rapid transit systems. So it's and, you know, places like Amsterdam and Seoul, Bangalore, these are cities that are thinking about this. But no U.S. city, I think, is really starting to capture the potential that it really should be looking to capture.
You know, you've also mentioned, I've read that you've mentioned during the snowstorms in Boston last year and the city's partnership with technology to try to deal with that. Could strategies like that make Boston more of a sharing city?
Well, you know, I don't want to be overly critical, but, you know, we can't have an app for climate change and we can't have an app for cities failing infrastructure. Now, it's no coincidence that Mayor Walsh partnered with Waze, which is incidentally owned by Google. He partnered with it during the snowstorm and just before the Patriots celebratory parade. Now, that is management by crisis. there was no cool-headed thinking about, well, what shall we do in this city that is a small city, that is densely populated, that has small roads? We have a traffic management department, not a traffic reduction department. So what Waze does is helps to manage what we already have, when we really need to be thinking, as places like London have done, on how do we reduce the amount of cars in the city, not just how do we spread around those cars. And also, one of the other things that the Waze app does is really it takes the discourse away from notions of infrastructure spending to smart technologies as our way out. Now, I'm a lover of smart technologies, but they're only as smart as the decision makers that decide not to put money into infrastructure.
You know, you say we're ordained for sharing. I'm not quite sure I agree with that 100%. I think that, folks also compete. And I think that when you talk about a city like San Francisco, there's a lot of competition there. And the reason why we might be seeing technology that helps people share is because people make money from that technology. And that's sort of, I mean, this seems to me like a very big shift in thinking. Yeah.
There's a lot of science and research now going into sort of our evolutionary tendencies towards sharing. I mean, you know, when we lived in the savannas, we could not exist as individuals. We had to hunt in bands. Now, yes, we're in a very different situation now. Competition is part of our makeup, but it's not the only part. And sharing resources and communal forms of sharing, such as the participatory budgeting that Cambridge City Council has undergone recently, that is a great way of involving people in what we call the urban commons. So we, in the book, really critique the notion that sharing has to be an economic activity, but that sharing should be seen as something that the whole city does. In fact, if you think of the city, shared infrastructure of roads, public spaces, parks, shared infrastructure in terms of libraries, schools, etc. These are what make cities tick. And so it's that form of sharing I want to emphasise. I don't mind the competitive form of sharing in terms of Uber, Airbnb, but it needs to be regulated. And smart cities of the future will regulate these businesses so that they act on behalf of more people than they currently do. And then we won't laugh at the funnies that you've just shown us.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time because I'm sure there's a lot more to talk about here. Julian Augerman is a professor of urban and environmental policy and planning at Tufts University. He's co-author of the book Sharing Cities, A Case for Truly Smart and Sustainable Cities. He also has a forthcoming op-ed in the Boston Globe. Thanks very much for coming into Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Allison Bruzek, and Jamie Bologna. We had help today from Adam Asher, Virginia Marshall, and Caitlin O'Keefe. Tim Skoke is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Deborah Becker. Have a great weekend, and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.